Okay, we are live. Hi, this is William Ramsey. Welcome to William Ramsey Investigates. On today's show, I'm going to read from my book, Prophet of Evil. It's hard to believe it was published 14 years ago. 2010 was the first version. I'm on edition 3. I probably should do a fourth edition, actually. But, and the reason I'm reading for it is because it's 100 years to the day that Aleister Crowley received what he believed was his most important creation, was the Book of the Law, which he received in Egypt from April 8th, 9th, and 10th, 1904, right? So it's 100 years to the day. I felt obliged to read this. If you're watching this on YouTube, X, or Rockfin, you can see my most kind of a most recent version of my book. It goes into Crowley and his numerological, and I think ideological, I think I proved my point, ideological influence and connection to the events of 9/11. That's the title of the book. And I mean, I'll read the story. I'll just read the section from Prophet of Evil, but I just want to show you like the original copy, which I have here. I will show this, but for people who haven't seen it, it was actually kind of scribbled down. So it's kind of, you can see this is automatic writing, but he called it originally the Liber L Val Legis. And you can see this here. And this is Crowley's handwriting. So once you're familiar with that, you can see his other works and other personal writing. It's kind of his scribbles. But Liber L Legis, Val Legis, from the quiet from the mouth of Awas to the ear of the beast on April 8th, 9th, and 10th, 1904, right? So this is kind of his, it's kind of his most important writing. And he didn't, according to him, like he discarded it, he didn't realize it, and then he quoted from it. But there's, you know, there's some issues in there. But there's also, you see kind of the ideas that permeate Thelema, right? Thelema. But this kind of set him also kind of on the hierarchy. It was very helpful for his reputation. And then when he became a member or the head of the OTO, he integrated a lot of the ideas from this into kind of OTO teachings. But I think it's just interesting to see this, like, see these quotes that permeate, like this first intro. It's broken into three parts for people who don't know. Like, I've talked about this many times in other transmissions or interviews, discussions. But it's broken into three parts, three different gods, Egyptian gods. And then he has the Stela of Revealing that he saw in the Bulaq Museum, which is now the Egyptian or Cairo Museum. But you see quotes taken from other people, like this third line right here, every man and woman is a star. Actually, Kenneth Anger used that quote for his intro into Hollywood Babylon. So, but you see other elements. But the third part is really pretty vicious. And once I get into my text, I will quote some, I think, the more important elements or aspects of the Book of the Law. I don't want to read the whole thing. But this is what the original, so if you're watching this Rockfin X YouTube, this is what the original looked like. Very few emendations, very few cross-outs. There was one kind of stain on here. He also X'd out a page. He added something else here. You can see this. It seems to be in his handwriting. So this is like one part. The second, knew it, had it, and forgot the third god. I should remember this. It's been a while since I've been over this. But some strange kind of calculations. And he kind of, he's like 418, if you see this here. This is his number of global illumination. You'll see that on one of the laymans. This is page 45. Abrahadabra, he used this. Rahor Kuit. So it's, I knew it had it, Rahor Kuit. These Egyptian gods. Very Masonic, kind of going back to Egypt, right? This is a marked out page. There's supposed to be secret mysteries in here. Some people have said it. Someone who shall come after is referenced in this. So like the one who will come after Crowley, and a lot of these occultists say, I'm the one who came after. But 66 pages. And finishes with the Abrahadabra, 11 letters, right? A-B-R-A-B-R. And the Book of the Law is written and concealed. Arun Ha. So that's what it looked like, the original. It kind of, it just looks like automatic writing. Like, he didn't change that much. He didn't go back and change it, that's for sure. But then this will be what it kind of looks like when, if you go to Like if you join the OTO or something like that, this will be the book. This is his layman, right? So the Eye of Horus, people mistake this as like the Eye of Christianity. It's different, right? They invert the kind of all-seeing eye of God for the all-seeing eye of Horus, right? So that's the Egyptian version and the occult version. And then you see the dove entering the chalice, right? So this is a representation of sex magic. And this is kind of what it looks like. So you see that 93, that's the most important number, and the 418 I just mentioned. But this Book of the Law, subfigure 31, as delivered by Iwas to Ankhonkwotsu. I think that was Crowley's Egyptian name, priest of the princes, who was 666. Comment, do what thou wilt, should be the whole of the law. The book of the study of this book, that's 11 letters, by the way, 11 words. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. So 11 is an important theme. The study of this book is forbidden. It's wise to destroy this copy after first reading. Whoever disregards this does so at his own risk and peril. These are most dire, those who discuss the contents of this book, to be shunned by all as centers of pestilence. All questions of the law to be cited only on my by appeal on my writings, each for himself. There's no long law beyond do what thou wilt. Love is the law, love under will. Ankh FN Khonsu. That's Crowley's kind of Egyptian name. So, yeah, he definitely put this together, and that's kind of what it looks like. I mean, this is, I mean, I'll quote from this. This distills down into 14 pages, so it's not very long. For people who don't know, the Book of the Law is used in Masonry as kind of like a, that's the law you kind of, the book you make your oaths onto. And so that's what kind of Crowley transposed. So this is kind of the new, I think his intent was this is the new kind of Book of the Law to replace this kind of Masonic thing. I think that's generally his idea. And this is kind of my book. This is the PDF version. And I do have some pictures here. You can see there's a lot of pictures throughout the book. Levi, Baphomet, Crowley's in the Golden Dawn, MacGregor Mathers, G.K. Chesterton mentioned about Crowley, some of his other friends and his travels and mountain climbing. But this is the section here. They are waiting for you. That's Kelly. That was his wife at the time. But yeah, I will go ahead and just read this chapter. So this is chapter 7, book Prophet of Evil. I wrote it 14 years ago, third edition. And that's Crowley. He always kind of adopted this garb in the style of Richard Burton, right? That was one of his heroes. So you'll see this picture of him that Prince Chaya Khan, he had the money to do it in 1904. So he was on the way back. He was actually on a trip with Rose Kelly, coming back, I think, from India, coming back through Egypt. And then this happened to him. So I titled this chapter, They Are Waiting For You. To Crowley, what happened next was a bolt from the blue. My entire previous life was but a preparation for this event, and my entire subsequent life has been not merely determined by it, but wrapped up in it. On March 16th, after the 29-year-old Crowley performed a magical ritual, his wife began to act in a strange manner. Repeatedly, she said, they are waiting for you. On March 18th, she blurted out the stunning statement that he who was waiting was Horus. Rose knew nothing of magic or Egyptology. After another ritual, Crowley received the message that the equinox of the gods had arrived and that a new epoch would begin forming a link between a solar spiritual force and mankind. The secret chiefs were to confer upon him the position of his former teacher, MacGregor Mathers. On March 21st, Crowley and his wife ventured to Bulaq Museum, now the Egyptian Museum in Cairo, which neither had visited before. According to Crowley, he instructed his wife to find the god Horus without any sort of assistance. This is a quote. A glass case stood in the distance, too far off for its contents to be recognized, but Rose recognized it. There, she cried, there he is. Frater Perturabo, or Crowley, advanced to the case. There was the image of Horus in the form of Rahur Kut, painted upon the wooden stela of the 26th dynasty and the exhibit for the number 666. So that's called, he called that the Stela of Revealing. If you see his kind of rituals and things like that, he places this Stela of Revealing in that, and it has these three gods. So the three gods that I mentioned, Nuit, Hadit, and Rahur Kut. So Nuit is the goddess of the stars, and you'll see this goddess, this kind of black figure, going around the edges of the top of the Stele of Revealing. The number of the beast, 666, Crowley asked a curator of the museum to translate the hieroglyphic text of the wooden plank. Three gods, Nuit, Hadit, and Rahur Kut, dominate the Stele. Nuit, a figure spanning the heavens, Hadit represented as a winged globe, and Rahur Kut, a hawk-headed form taken by the god Horus, wearing a cobra headband and solar disc. An Egyptian priest named Ankh-af-na-Khonsu bows in supplication before the god form of Horus. All the imagery of the Stele 666 would evermore permeate Crowley's magical system. In Egypt, Rose became a seer of sorts to Crowley. She instructed Crowley that a spiritual being ordered him to consecrate his Cairo apartment as a magical temple. Crowley invoked Horus, dressed in jewelry and a golden robe. A bowl of bull's blood and a sword lay on the altar before the beast. Liber Villegas, given in the... Oh, this is just a quote. This is a highly interesting example of genuine automatic writing, although I'm in no way responsible for many of these comments. I publish them from among my works because I believe their intelligent study may be interesting and helpful. That's what the subtext says on the first page of the Liber Villegas that I showed you earlier, but that's a comment by Crowley. And this is a quote. How shall I humble myself enough before thee? Thou art mighty and unconquered Lord of the universe. I am a spark of thine unutterable radiance. How should I approach thee, but thou art everywhere? But thou hast graciously deigned me to call unto thee to this exorcism of art, that I may be thy servant, thine adept, O bright one. O son of glory, thou hast called me. Should I not listen, then hasten to thy presence. With unwashed hands, therefore, I come unto thee, and I lament my wandering from thee, but thou knowest. Yea, I have done evil. I bow my neck before thee, and as once thy sword was upon it, so am I in thy hands. Strike if thou wilt, spare if thou wilt, but accept me as I am. The beast shouted his prayer to the Egyptian god Horus in the city of pyramids. He was instructed to enter the impromptu temple exactly at noon for the following 3 days and write down what he heard during 1 hour, no more, no less. And this is according to Crowley, right? We only have Crowley as a witness. On April 8th, 9th, and 10th, 1904, three chapters of a small book were transcribed by Crowley. Writing alone in the substitute temple, a being which announced itself as Awaz appeared behind him on each occasion and dictated to him for 1 hour. He described the voice as a rich tenor or baritone of deep timbre, musical and expressive, its tone solemn, voluptuous, tender, fierce, or aught else as the moods, as suited the moods of the message. This was a personal contact with a being of intelligence and power immensely subtler and greater than aught we can call human, that dictated the book to him as scribe from over his left shoulder, emanating from the back of the temple. This is a quote. The immense superiority of this particular intelligence, Iwas, to any other with which mankind has yet been in conscious communication is shown not merely by the character of the book itself, but by the fact of his comprehending perfectly the nature of the proof necessary to demonstrate the fact of his own existence and the conditions of that existence, and further having provided the proof required. While never admitting to seeing this being, he visualized this personage in his imagination. Quote, he possessed a body of fine matter or astral matter, transparent as a veil of gaze or a cloud of incense smoke. He seemed to be a tall, dark man in his 30s, well-knit, active and strong, with the face of a savage king and eyes veiled, lest their gaze should destroy what they saw. Crowley filled 65 handwritten pages while acting as a writer for the entity. Quote, I was proud of my personal prowess as a poet, hunter, and mountaineer of admittedly dauntless virility. Yet I was being treated like a hypnotized imbecile, or worse, for I was perfectly aware of what I was doing. My own unconscious was thus in alliance with Awaz. Taken between two fires, my conscious self was paralyzed so long as the pressure lasted. We are forced to conclude that the author of the Book of the Law is an intelligence both alien and superior to myself, yet acquainted with my innermost secrets, and most important point of all, that this intelligence is discarnate. Crowley titled the received writing Liber Villegas, or the Book of the Law. Written in both prose and poetry, or poetic prose, the received book heralded nothing less than the end of the Age of Osiris, defined by Crowley also as Adonis, Attis, Dionysus, and Jesus Christ, the dying god, and that the new age of Horus, the crowned and conquering child, was now upon the earth. Crowley would be the prophet of this new aeon. That's the title of the book, Prophet of Evil. Crowley would be the prophet of this new aeon with the supreme 11-word commandment to be evangelized to the entire world. Quote, do what thou wilt shall be the whole of the law, unquote. The phrase has been prominently used in the past. French playwright Rabelais, in the play Gargantua, described an ideal community and named it Thelema, whose governing dictum was do what you will. The notorious profligate Sir Francis Dashwood, 1708-1781, a member of British Parliament who was appointed Chancellor of the Exchequer in 1762, founded the brotherhood known as the Knights of St. Francis of Wycombe, or the Franciscans of Medmenham, more popularly known as the Hellfire Club. The entrance to Dashwood's Abbey bore the inscription, Fais ce que voudras, do what thou wilt. Eventually, Crowley considered this book to be the most important he ever received. Quote, in the case of Aleister Crowley, no such boy, shapeless, uncontrollable troll representing the riddle of existence appeared on the hillside, for he himself regards his career as a definitely dramatic composition. It comes to a climax on April 8th, 9th, and 10th, 1904, E.V. Ero Vulgaris, right? The slightest incident in the history of the whole universe appears to him as a preparation for that event, and his subsequent life is merely the aftermath of that crisis. The Book of the Law would be the centerpiece in the organization of his religion for a new age. I, Aleister Crowley, declare upon my honor as a gentleman that I hold this revelation a million times more important than the discovery of the wheel or even the laws of physics or mathematics. Fire and tools made man master of this planet. Writing developed his mind, but his soul was a guess until the Book of the Law proved this. The Book of the Law separated it in three parts in accordance with the Stella of Revealing. Each section begins with an individual exhortation by the three different gods, Nuit, Hadit, and Ra Hor Kuit. The voice of Nuit, a representation of the universe, begins the strange book. Included here are some salient verses from chapter one. So this is, I'll just read. This is from the Book of the Law. Let my servants be few in secret, they shall rule the many in the known. These are fools that men adore, both their gods and their men are fools. Come forth, O children, under the stars, take your fill of love. I'm above you and in you. My ecstasy is in yours. My joy is to see your joy. Now ye shall know that the chosen priest and apostle of infinite space is the prince priest, the beast, and his woman, and in his women called the Scarlet Woman, is all power given. They shall gather my children into their fold. They shall bring the glory of the stars into the hearts of men. The word of the law is Thelema. Who causes Thelemites will do no wrong if you look but close into the word. For there are therein three grades, the hermit, the lover, and the man of earth. Do what thou wilt shall be the whole of the law. The word of sin is restriction. O man, refuse not thy wife if she will. O lover, if thou wilt, depart. There is no bond that can unite the divided but love. All else is accursed. Accursed, accursed be it to the aeon's hell. My number is 11, as all their number who are of us, right? So that's like the theme of 11 is re-emphasized over and over again in the Book of the Law and Crowley. So moving on to chapter two, this is Hadit. In chapter two, the voice of Hadit, the winged globe, speaks to all who listen. I am the Empress and the Hierophant, thus 11 as my bride is 11. These are dead, these fellows, they feel not. We are not for the poor and sad. The lords of the earth are our kinsfolk. Is a god to live in a dog? No, but the highest are of us. They shall rejoice, our chosen, who sorroweth is not of us. Beauty and strength, leaping laughter and delicious languor, force and fire are of us. We have nothing with the outcast and the unfit. Let them die in their misery, for they feel not. Compassion is the vice of kings. Stamp down the wretched and the weak. This is the law of the strong. This is our law and the joy of the world. On the low man, trample in the fierce lust of your pride in the day of your wrath. Be ye, O my people, rise up and awake. Let the rituals be rightly performed with joy and beauty. There are rituals of the elements and feasts of the times. A feast for the first night of the prophet and his bride, right? That's Crowley and his Scarlet Woman. A feast for the 3 days of the writing of the Book of the Law. So the occultists are feasting over these next 3 days. A feast for Tahuti and the child of the prophet's secret, O prophet. A feast for the supreme ritual and a feast for the equinox of the gods. A feast for the fire and a feast for water. A feast for life and a greater feast for death. A feast in every day in your hearts in the joy of my rapture. A feast every night unto new in the pleasure of uttermost delight. Pity not the fallen. I never knew them. I am not for them. I console not. I hate the consoled and the consoler. I am unique and conqueror. I am not of the slaves that perish, be they damned and dead. Amen. This is of the four. There is a fifth who is invisible. Therein I am as a babe in an egg. Yea, deem not of change. Ye shall be as ye are, and not other. Therefore the kings of the earth shall be kings forever. The slaves shall serve. In chapter 3 of the received book, the war god Horus viciously declares an age of wrath and death upon the earth. Now let it first be understood that I am a god of war and of vengeance. I shall deal hardly with them. I will give you a war engine. With it ye shall smite the peoples, and none shall stand before you. Lurk, withdraw upon them. This is the law of the battle of conquest. Thus shall my worship be about my secret house. Get the stela of revealing itself. Set it in thy secret temple. And that temple is already aright disposed, and it shall be your Qibla forever. It shall not fade, but miraculous color shall come back to it day after day. Close it in locked glass for a proof to the world. This shall be your only proof. I forbid argument. Conquer, that is enough. I will make easy to you the obstruction from the ill-ordered house in the victorious city. Thou shalt thyself convey it with worship, O prophet, though thou likest it not. Thou shalt have danger and trouble. Ra Hor Kut is with thee. Worship me with fire and blood. Worship me with swords and with spears. Let the women be girt with the sword before me. Let blood flow to my name. Trample down the heathen. Be upon them, O warrior. I give you of their flesh to eat. Sacrifice cattle, little and big, after a child. Mercy let be off. Damn them who pity. Kill and torture. Spare not be upon them. For pure perfume, mix meal and honey and thick leavings of red wine, then oil of abramelin and olive oil, and afterwards soften and smooth down with rich, fresh blood. The best blood is of the moon monthly, then the fresh blood of a child or dropping from the host of heaven, then of enemies, then of the priest or of the worshippers, last of some beast, no matter what. This burn and of this make cakes and eat unto me. This has also another use. Let it be laid bare before me and kept thick with perfumes of your horizon. It shall become full of beetles, as it were, and creeping things sacred unto me. These slay, naming your enemies, and they shall fall before you. Also these shall breed lust and power of lust in you at the eating thereof. Also ye shall be strong in war. The ordeals thou shalt oversee thyself, save only the blind ones. Refuse none, but thou shalt know and destroy the traitors. I am Ra Hor Kut. I am powerful to protect my servant. Success is thy proof. Argue not, convert not, talk not overmuch. Them that seek to entrap thee, to overthrow thee, them attack without pity or quarter and destroy them utterly. Swift as a trodden serpent, turn and strike. Be thou yet deadlier than he. Drag down their souls to awful torment. Laugh at their fear, spit upon them. Let the scarlet woman beware of pity and compassion, tenderness visit her heart. If she leave my work to toy with old sweetnesses, then shall my vengeance be known. I will slay me her child, I will alienate her heart. I will cast her out from men as a shrinking and despised harlot. Shall she crawl through the dusk, wet streets, and die cold and unhungered. But let her raise herself in pride, let her follow me in my way, let her work be the work of wickedness, let her kill her heart. Let her be loud and adulterous. Let her be covered with jewels and rich garments, and let her be shameless before all men. Yeah, tough stuff. Curse them, curse them, curse them. With my hawk's head, I peck at the eyes of Jesus as he hangs upon the cross. I flap my wings in the face of Muhammad and blind him. With my claws, I tear out the flesh of the Indian and the Buddhist, Mongol, and Din. Balasti, Ampeda, I spit on your crapulous creeds. Let Mary inviolate be torn upon wheels. For her sake, let all chaste women be utterly despised among you. Also for beauty's sake and love's. Despise also all cowards, professional soldiers who dare not fight but play. All fools despise. But the keen and the proud, the royal and the lofty, ye are brothers. As brothers fight ye. There is no law beyond do what thou wilt. I am the hawk-headed lord of silence and of strength. My nemesis shrouds the night blue sky. The aggressive adversarial pronouncements of Horus condemns all creeds. Crowley interprets this call from the god Horus for all Thelemites to be bold and virile. So, quote, as brothers fight ye, all the manly races of the world understand this. The love of Liber Legis is always bold, virile, even orgiastic. There is delicacy, but it is the delicacy of strength. Mighty and terrible and glorious as it is, however, it is but the pennon upon the sacred lands of will, the Damascened inscription upon the swords of the knight monks of Thelema. Every Masonic lodge contains a book of the law upon the central altar. In the Masonic mythos, the book of the law is used for the swearing in of initiates. For example, a Christian initiates into Masonry using a Bible, a Muslim upon the Quran. Crowley's book of the law parallels concepts found in the Hindu tantras, the Quran, and the Song of Solomon. Crowley proclaimed the book answers all possible religious problems. Quote, one is struck by the fact that so many of them are stated and settled separately in so short a space, unquote. He initially presumed the book represented the contact of a group of discarnate intelligences pledged to the welfare of mankind, and they would communicate their wisdom in proportion of humanity's capacity to receive it. According to Crowley, one of the primary lessons from the book is the emancipation or liberty of mankind and the freedom from all limitations. According to Crowley, he alone could interpret the strange book. Detailed commentaries analyzing the Book of the Law would be written by the Beast over the next three decades. In one of the later commentaries, The Equinox of the Gods, penned in 1936, Crowley looks back and assesses the reception of the book from Iwas or Satan. Quote, in any case, whatever Iwas is an intelligence possessed of power and knowledge absolutely beyond human experience. And therefore, Iwas is a being worthy, as the current use of the word allows, of the title of a god, yea, verily, and amen, of a god. Man has no such fact recorded by proof established in surety beyond cavil of critic as this book to witness the existence of an intelligent praetor human and articulate, purposefully interfering in the philosophy, religion, ethics, economics, and politics of the planet, unquote. He added later, the question arises, especially on examining the original manuscript in my handwriting, who wrote these words. According to the book, the law is for all, and the word of the law is in Greek thelema, or will. Quote, Iwas, uttering the word thelema with all its implications, destroys completely the formula of the dying god. Thelema implies not merely a new religion, but a new cosmology, a new philosophy, a new ethics, unquote. The book dictated a ruthless approach to human affairs. The Book of the Law regards pity and compassion as despicable. Quote, the secret chiefs had informed me that a new aeon implied the breaking up of the civilization existing at the time. Obviously, to change the magical formula of the planet is to change all moral sanctions, and the result is bound to appear disastrous. The nature of Horus being force and fire, his aeon would be marked by the collapse of humanitarianism. The first act of his reign would naturally to plunge the world into the catastrophe of a huge and ruthless war, unquote. It was clear to Crowley that he was the anointed one selected by this intelligence to receive the Book of the Law. He was chosen on account of his comprehensive knowledge of the mysteries and his literary ability. Like his magical mentor, Mathers, Crowley alone would be the primary figure to interpret the meaning of the Book of the Law, quote, I lay claim to be the sole authority competent to decide disputed points with regard to the Book of the Law, seeing that its author, Iwas, is none other than mine own holy guardian angel, of whose knowledge and conversation I have attained, so that I have exclusive access to him. I have duly referred every difficulty to him directly and received his answer. My award is therefore absolute, without appeal, unquote. The worshippers of the new aeon would now be termed Thelemites. Crowley finishes his assessment of the receipt of the book by emphasizing its import to humanity. Quote, the history of this must one day be told by a more vivid voice. Properly considered, it is a history of continuous miracle. Enough of it is now said that in this law lies the whole future. It is the law of liberty, and those who refuse it proclaim themselves slaves, and as slaves shall they be chained and flogged. It is the law of love, and those who refuse it declare themselves to be the children of hate, and their hate shall return upon them and consume them with its unending tortures. It is the law of life, and those who refuse it shall be subject to death, and death shall catch them unawares. Even their life shall be a living death. It is the law of light, and those who refuse it thereby make themselves dark forever. Do what thou wilt shall be the whole of the law. Refuse this, and fall under the curse of destiny. Divide will against itself. The result is impotence and strife, strife in vain. The law condemns no man. Accept the law, and everything is lawful. Shortly after the completion of the book, Crowley and his pregnant wife headed home to Scotland by way of Paris with a replica of the 666 Stella of Revealing. Copies of the Book of the Law were prepared and sent to his closest friends, declaring the arrival of the equinox of the gods. Crowley boldly sent a missive to Mathers, promoting himself as the new messenger of the secret chiefs. Quote, I declared war on Mathers accordingly, but it was a brutum fulmen, or unwieldy thunderbolt. Mathers responded with a magical attack that apparently killed Crowley's bloodhounds and rendered the household servants ill. Crowley countered by invoking Beelzebub, one of the 8 sub-princes of the Abramelin spirits, who in turn commanded his 49 servitors to plague Mathers. Soon after, as a result of invocation of rituals required by the Book of the Law, a plague of beetles supposedly afflicted Boleskin, right? Boleskin Manor up north. In July 1904, Rose gave birth to a daughter named Nuit Ma Ahator Hakate Sappho Jezebel Lilith, and explaining his name choices thus, quote, Nuit was given in honor to Our Lady of the Stars, Ma Justice because the sign of Libra was rising, Athahor Goddess of Love and Beauty because Venus rules Libra. I'm not sure about the name Hecate, but it may have been a compliment to the infernal gods. A poet could hardly do less than commemorate the only lady who ever wrote poetry, Sappho. Jezebel still held her place as my favorite character in scripture, and Lilith, of course, holds undisputed possession of my affections in the realm of demons. Crowley took time during his wife's convalescence to write the revolting book of poems, Snowdrops from a Curate's Garden, writing 11 chapters in 11 days. Crowley's avowed purpose of the pornographic work was to clean all germs out of the sexual wound. My object is not merely to discuss, but to root out ruthlessly the sense of sin. The fictitious author K was born about the year 1860 in a hunting shire of England. He marries a beautiful English girl like Crowley and wife. They honeymoon in Cairo. Soon after, a series of rapes and orgies take place, evoking the profane, vicious, disturbed writings of Marquis de Sade. More of his books were completed, The Argonauts, The Sword of Song, The Book of the Goetia of Solomon the King, Why Jesus Wept, Oracles, Orpheus, Gargoyles, and the Collected Works, which required 3 volumes to compile. A publishing company was founded to distribute his writings, the Society for the Propagation of Religious Truth. Some faint praise for his writing was heard, more praises from Christian apologist G.K. Chesterton, who declared, quote, Mr. Crowley has always been, in my opinion, a good poet, unquote. So that was kind of the full chapter that I wrote about the Book of the Law. And you can just see, like, I cut little snippets out and put it in the book. Some of that, which I showed at the very beginning. So if anybody has any questions, I'd be happy. You can just write them in YouTube if you want. Mercedes, this is called The Book of the Law, among many of Crowley's books, right? But yeah, you can see, I think, Big, you say that the 11 is there. Yeah, the theme of 11 is established with this book. Yeah, Crowley the poet, he never really made it into the first tier of poets, even though his output is really incredible. Like, he really tried very hard and wrote a lot of poetry. He never spent time really correcting his writing or making it better, which I think didn't serve him well. So, but yeah, I mean, this book has a lot of other stories of Crowley, but you can see this is my original cover that I did in 2010. It's totally simplistic. I've upgraded a lot of this stuff, but I mean, I can read the introduction. I mean, it's kind of interesting to go back to Crowley. And people ask me, what do you think about Crowley? Like, I call him prophet of evil, right? And this whole Book of the Law is what established him as his kind of his prophetic, you know, desires or whatever he wanted to be a prophet. But I go into his parents in this book too. I talk about his time in Cambridge. You can see here he's filed his fingertips to a point. And he was rumored to have filed his teeth to points as well. Like, he never smiled. There's no pictures of him smiling. So that's actually, and here's his hero, Sir Richard Burton. He dedicated his autobiography to Eckenstein, Augustus John, and Sir Richard Burton. And Augustus John, interesting guy, but he was related to Ian Fleming. He had a daughter with Ian Fleming's mom after Ian Fleming's dad died in World War I. And her name was Amaryllis Fleming. And Ian Fleming has a connection. I covered in Children of the Beast. Ian connection as a connection to Crowley. White Stains, this is one of Crowley's first books of poetry. Here's Oscar Eckenstein, a mountaineer he really admired. And Gerald Kelly. Rose was Gerald. This was an old friend who stayed friends with Crowley for a long time. But he was the brother of Rose Carey. Rose was his first wife. And there's Helena Petrovna Blavatsky. He knew William Butler Yeats, right? He thought he was a resurrection of Alfred Lewis Constant, also known as Eliphas Levy. He died in 1875, and Crowley was born in 1875. And this is Eliphas Levy's infamous Baphomet, right? Solvet Coagula. The moons and everything, right? Scrolling golden on. This is the sign of Osiris. He's making this X. You can see a lot of like people in Hollywood making the same sign. Well, Crowley was really one of the early ones. So, and the sign of silence, but also it's actually interesting. This is important. This guy, William Wynne Westcott's very important because he keyed into the number 11 as well, which Crowley kind of borrowed. But it's from the book Numbers, Their Occult Power and Mystic Virtue. It's from the Golden Dawn. And this was Crowley's kind of teacher who then became his rival, MacGregor Mathers. Kind of did the same thing as Crowley, dressed in strange outfits and magical outfits. And then Crowley took an oath to, and this guy, Alan Bennett, some people are huge fans of Bennett because he became a kind of a Western Buddhist scholar, but friends with Crowley. Crowley had a lot of interesting friends. This is the early Bullaskin Manor, which burned down and is being rebuilt. I think it's been rebuilt, but it's right on Loch Ness, the infamous Loch Ness monster. Crowley was up there doing something called the Abramelin working. This is a quote from Crowley from chapter 5. Quote, I had been almost overwhelmed by the appalling responsibility of ensuring my own damnation and helping others to escape from Jesus. I found that the world was, after all, full of delightful, damned souls, of people who accepted nature as she is, accepted their own place in nature and enjoyed it, fought mean and despicable things fairly and firmly wherever they met them, unquote. And I kind of go into his time, D.K. Chesterton, here's Bennett. Yeah, the holder of the secrets, Big says that. Yeah, here's him at Chogo Ri, the bearded one in the center. And Eckstein's there too, which is his buddy, his hero. Somerset Maugham, right? He runs into Somerset Maugham. Maugham writes The Magician about Crowley. That becomes a movie. But yeah, there's a lot in here. Clifford Bax. There's an interesting quote from Clifford Bax that I found, which is... Clifford Bax was a writer, kind of lost to history, but he writes, Bax recalled the conversation, quote, what is the date at this moment? I told him. And he said, in 100 years from this day, the world will be sitting in the sunset of Crowleyanity. He seemed to me a dangerous man, as indeed at one time he was, for he induced his disciples to experiment with drugs. And so when he offered me a set of his works in exchange for my address, I contrived to get out of the bargain, unquote. So that's kind of... And then Bax further described Crowley's ritual practices, quote, for several years I had not seen him, but like everybody else, I had heard much about him. As for instance, when he had found a Crowleyanity in a huge basement somewhere in Bloomsbury or Chelsea, and that a deep-toned Tibetan bell hung suspended from the roof, he would give it a tap, and after the sound, with overtones, he would continue for quite a minute. After thus having exhorted his disciples that do what thou wilt shall be the whole of the law. He took up a wafer, cut himself, dipped the wafer in his blood, then consumed it. When the ritual was over, he interviewed in the back room candidates for initiation in the new religion. There's his first wife, Rose Kelly. She went insane. And then that was kind of it. This is the book, but there's a lot here. I get into Bush. Bush is at the end. But I think it's all pretty well. I mean, I think I have tons of footnotes. This is Crowley later in life, bald. He had pockmarks on his face because he like blew something up and went into a coma when he was younger. And it blew up in his face and left it kind of scars on his face. And some people have like traced his derangement maybe to that brain injury when he was in a coma. And they may be right. Like he kind of... One of the things about Crowley is they don't realize like he went through this phase in the 50s where he possibly went insane, went into a mental institution in Switzerland, but also kind of had these moments of self-reflection, like, what did I do? I'm insane. Why did I do all this stuff? So it's almost like he didn't quite renounce it, but he definitely had moments of like, why was I doing all this stuff? So anyway, this is the Rites of Eleusis. But anyway, that was kind of the point. I just wanted to read this for April 8th, 100 years. I mean, I think I felt like it was important because I'd written a book about Crowley. And you can see that. Make sure you get the third edition, the 6x9. The 8x10 was the original one in 2010. And the upgraded ones have more information. Yeah, Crowley, Cult Commando. Anything about his time staying at Thousand Islands in New York? I don't know about Thousand Islands, but he was in New York. He stayed at one at Washington Square, and that's where he did the Halemantra working. But he also left. I mean, he traveled around the United States. He was on Esopus Island, and then he went to New Hampshire and visited friends. He also traveled to Florida. He had friends in Florida. He traveled through New Orleans and drank absinthe, I think, at the Absinthe House. So he wasn't just in one. Crowley's kind of an interesting figure because he's not in one place at any given time. He's always traveling and writing at the same time he's traveling. So he's kind of difficult to pin down. But yeah, he spent 4 years in the United States, came over on the Lusitania, lived in Manhattan, met a lot of people. I just had a show with Hans Uter where we're talking about his friendship with Walter Duranty, right? Duranty was kind of a Stalin's apologist, covered up things about the Soviet revolutionaries and things like that. But yeah, the West Memphis Three. The reason I got into the West Memphis Three was from Crowley, because the Crowley's involved in the West Memphis Three. So anyway, thanks for listening. And if anybody has any questions, you can put it on YouTube. But yeah, you can get a copy of my book. My website is William Ramsey Investigates, or you can just go to Amazon. And like I said, make sure you get the third edition, which is based on the second edition, which was done in 2012. But the original is really 2010. All right. Thanks so much. Thanks for listening.